lose your fortune, family, and friends, but one thing you'll never lose is your creditors. Hi, I'm Rob West. The Bible doesn't speak of debt as a sin, only that we should avoid it. While some types of credit are better than others, some should be avoided like the plague. I'll talk about them with Howard Dayton today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest today, Howard Dayton, is founder of Compass Finances God's Way and a dear friend and mentor of mine. Howard, delighted to have you back on the program.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Howard, in your book, Free and Clear, God's Roadmap to Debt-Free Living, you have a chapter called Credit to Avoid, and that's what I want to make the focus of our conversation today. You have several examples. Perhaps we can start there.
Sure thing, Rob. Well, let's start with finance companies. Their interest rates are sky high and may run as high as prime rate plus 10%. Wow. People use these companies because their credit isn't good enough to work with conventional lenders. And in most cases, Rob, they're absolutely desperate for cash. Yes. And finance companies that deal primarily in debt consolidation loans charge enormous fees and closing costs. And we really need to pay attention to the difference between the interest rate offered and the APR, which is the annual percentage rate, which factors in closing costs. And finance companies are also notorious for their lack of cooperation when payments are late. They're much quicker than conventional lenders to turn those loans over to collections.
Yeah, we certainly hear that with our callers. And that, of course, Howard, means potentially serious damage to your credit score, which takes years to recover from. What's another source of credit to avoid?
Well, the so-called payday loans, or sometimes it's known as payroll advances. These are very short-term loans, Rob, and usually in the range of only $100 to $500. But the Federal Trade Commission warns that the typical, get this, APR on payday loans, 391%.
Wow.
Just imagine borrowing $300 for 2 months and then owing almost $500. It's really a legalized form of robbery. And horrendous interest and late fees absolutely trap people into making one payday loan after another. According to studies, 90% of their business comes from people who are so desperate that they have to make five or more of these loans each and every year.
Well, if you're living paycheck to paycheck and not putting anything in your emergency fund, we know the next stop is often, unfortunately, a payday loan. Howard, what's next on this list of credit to avoid?
Well, next are pawn shop loans. These are short-term loans secured by something of value that's sold if the loan isn't paid on time. And interest rates, get this, range from 2% to 25% per month. That means the annual interest rate, of course, is between 24 and 300%. And many people who take out these pawn shop loans never recover the property they pawn for cash. And at times, when you think about it, some get so desperate that they end up pawning something really valuable and they never see it again.
Right. And I've noticed on those popular cable shows that pawn shops never reveal how much interest they charge on those loans.
No, they don't. But it's a big number.
Yes, it is.
The next form of credit to avoid is auto title loans, Rob. These loans are usually for 30 days. They're secured by a car title. And the individual can borrow money based on the value of the car. But Rob, the high interest rates really aren't the biggest downside of a car loan. If the borrower fails to make the loan payment on time, the lender can repossess the vehicle. And as one consumer advocate said, car title loans are really legalized car theft because you lose the entire car equity no matter what the loan amount is. So it's really, really dangerous and something to avoid.
No question about it. The same, I assume, would go for tax refund loans. Stay away from those as well. Howard, just a few seconds left. We want to make sure we don't use debt to avoid giving God the opportunity to provide, right?
Absolutely. And as you've said so many times, be faithful to save and to pay off those debts and to give.
Awesome. Howard, thank you for stopping by, my friend.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Howard Dayton, my friend, with wisdom from his book, Free and Clear. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. This may come as a shock to you, but you're already in full-time ministry. If people know you're a Christian, Matthew 5:14 explains, you're like a city on the top of the hill that cannot be hidden. You're representing God, and everything you do and say is leading everyone watching you closer or further away from God. You can't stop that. For Christians, nothing is secular. Whether you agree or not, everything you do is spiritual. It may speak to your spiritual deadness that pushes people away from God, or to your spiritual vitality makes people want to know God like you know God. There's nothing more attractive than seeing the joy of the Lord in someone else's life, especially now with the world falling apart. Light shines brighter in darkness, and with the world getting darker every day, it's time to let your light shine. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
Tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We'll turn the corner and take your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the phone number to call. We've got lines open again, 800-525-7000. Today, coming up on the broadcast, a couple of emails. Should you tithe to the local church? What about giving your tithe to a ministry that you are enjoying or want to support beyond your local church? Well, I'll weigh in on that question from Jan. And then Nick asks about whether or not he should pull from his 401k for the years that he's retired leading up to his full retirement age to allow his Social Security check to continue to grow. I'll give you my thoughts on that as well. Plus, rules for borrowing today. We'll build on what we talked about with Howard Dayton today to talk about some rules as we think about using credit. Borrowing is not a sin, as we said, but there are clear warnings in Scripture about the use of debt. Well, what would be some rules to follow to ensure that we use debt in a way that's productive without getting us into a difficult financial situation? I'll share some of those thoughts today as well. And then, of course, your questions today, 800-525-7000. Let's go to, New Mexico. Jake, thank you for calling. You'll be our first caller today, and go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a question that I think that other people might be thinking about, and it has to do with the U.S. dollar being the reserve currency for petrodollars.
I have heard
for a long, long time, I mean, I'm talking about decades, from Christian and non-Christian financial commentators, that whenever the U.S. dollar is no longer the reserve currency of the world, that our economy is going to be in real trouble. And I heard somebody say the other day that right now that some of the countries around the world are not dealing in dollars anymore. Just what's your take on that?
Yeah. Well, it's something obviously to keep an eye on. The dollar, the U.S. dollar, is still the world's reserve currency and has been since 1944. If it was ever replaced by another currency, it would certainly be detrimental to all dollar holders and positive for dollar debtors with fixed interest obligations. Right now, the dollar is actually surging. It's resulting in pretty dramatic drops across every major currency as concerns about a hawkish Federal Reserve and the potential for a global recession have driven demand for the ultimate haven. And so that's caused the dollar to rally. If we were to see the dollar be replaced, that would obviously be a concern. But here's the reality. There just aren't any currencies anywhere close to the strength of the U.S. dollar. So the challenge is, the issue is not, are we, on a difficult track moving forward? And I would say we certainly have some pretty significant headwinds against us that could result in a debt crisis at some point down the road. The challenge is there just aren't any viable alternatives right now. The dollar holds 60% of the world's reserve. The euro only holds about 18%, and China's currency holds just a little more than 2.5%. So there's really no one even close right now. I do think, as we talked about recently with our good friend and economist Jerry Boyer, we need to keep an eye on the debt levels in this country. Currently, the national debt stands at about 125% of GDP. And we're going to see over the next 10 years, the government likely to borrow another $14 trillion. And the question is sustainability. And obviously at odds with that is interest rates, because the Fed would like to keep interest rates low, which is obviously helpful when it comes to sustaining our debt levels. The challenge is, it's inflationary. And we, the Fed has made it very clear that they are going to fight inflation with all of the tools at their disposal. And so the question would be, if interest rates are higher than projected and they're not held down, what would that mean for a debt crisis down the road? And obviously, that would either trigger a debt crisis or debasement of the currency. So that's obviously something to watch, but I think in terms of it being replaced as the world's reserve currency, there's just not any other alternatives right now, so it's really not even plausible at this point.
Well, that's some great information. Thanks.
Okay, we appreciate your call, Jake. God bless you, my friend. Let's see, to Texas we go. Mark, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask a question, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I just want to ask a question about debt and finances that I don't think is being addressed by Christian financial counselors very often. Is it not true that a lot of debt is caused because the people aren't making enough money to survive? I've run a business for 44 years. Before that, I worked three jobs, sometimes as much as 20 hours a day, 6 days a week. I paid tithe. I tried to pay all my required bills, required for car insurance and everything. I tried to follow all the rules of Christian financing. And next thing I know, I'm having to borrow just to pay things.
Yeah.
And then finally, I found the real solution in Proverbs. You've got to make enough money to pay those debts. You can't save money when your debt is, when you're
ordinary expense is $1,000 a month and you're making $800 a month. You've got to make more than your expense.
That's right.
Before you can save. And yeah, that's never being dealt with. A lot of people that I meet, their problem, the reason they're going to these payday loans and these ripoff artists that take advantage of the poor that the Bible speaks against, is because they don't have enough income. And there's not enough hours in the day to get enough income, and they can't save because they don't have enough income. And I think that that needs to be addressed to some point on the Christian talk shows, because Proverbs tells you how to get enough income. Yeah. The Word of God tells you how to get enough income. And it isn't just through tithing. It's through wisdom and knowledge that God gives you in the Scripture. So that's all I have to say.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. And I think you raise a great point, is that we were created to be workers. You know, we were created in the image of God, who is a worker himself. He creates, and then as his creation, we're to, in his image, take his creation and improve it. And that work should be productive. It should be meaningful. That was commissioned to us before the fall. And we have great opportunity here. And I think, as you point out, we need to live within our means, which means we need to seek the income, use the skills and abilities, and to the extent we're lacking those, pursue them so we can bring in an adequate wage to meet the needs that we have and provide for our families. Wages are rising pretty rapidly here in the United States as employers scramble to find workers. The average hourly pay rose 10 cents to a little over $32 in August, which is an increase of about 5% from a year ago. However, with inflation at last reading at about 8.5%, wages still aren't keeping up. Now, the free market, though, if allowed to, generally corrects problems like this. You know, one thing you can do in the meantime is to, as I said, increase your job skills so that you can be more productive. Productive workers will always earn more than those who aren't. And the good news is this is still a very robust and strong job market with plenty of opportunity out there. And we live in a nation that allows us to pursue skills and make a proper wage if we'll put in the hard work. And so I think, you know, the point you make is one that's good. Ultimately, we need to be found faithful with what passes through our hands. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
There's a culture war raging in America, and like it or not, we're in the battle.
Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. We receive emails and posts in our MoneyWise community all the time, literally every day, from folks wanting to engage others in the community on questions that they're facing. This one was recently posted to our community from Jan. She says, does the Bible say a tithe includes what we give to the church and to other ministries as well? And Jan, what I would say is that if we're going to apply the principle of the tithe, it would indicate that we should give that to the local church. That was pretty clear in Acts 4. People gave their offerings to the elders. And I think, as my friend Randy Alcorn says, the tithe is the training wheels of giving. It's the beginning point. As we give systematically, as God provides an increase. And I think whether or not we're applying the principle of the tithe today, there's some that will argue on both sides. I think clearly we want to give in demonstrating our trust and dependence on God as our provider. We see in the Old and New Testament that we should be givers. Jesus raised the bar in the New Testament. We should give, especially as those who have seen the other side of the cross. We should give sacrificially. We should give as a way to worship. And I love the tithe as a beginning point to that. And I think it should go to support the work of the local church. But Jan, we appreciate you asking the question. If you'd like to weigh in and ask a question to hear from others in the MoneyWise community or to get your question on the air, just head to our MoneyWise community at moneywise.org or in the MoneyWise app, and you can post your question and get great responses. All right, back to the phones we go to Texas. Steve, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. My question is, as a business loan broker, would you recommend offering clients, businesses, an SBA EIDL loan, which is, I want to say, like 2.75, 2.8%, 30 years, no payments for 2 years? Would those be viable loans, or I should say, would you recommend those? Have me recommend those to clients? Are you a fan of those?
Yeah, you know, I am, as long as they're used sparingly. I think the key for, you know, a business is we might call that good debt because the returns are expected or hoped to be greater than the cost of borrowing the money. I mentioned some rules I'll share for borrowing a little later in the broadcast, and one of those is that borrowing always mortgages the future, and so therefore the economic return needs to be greater than the economic cost. And so I think, you know, this clearly would fit into that category when you're borrowing for a business. Now, we need to be careful there and not get overextended. And I think the type of SBA loan you're talking about for economic injury disaster, obviously, if someone has suffered substantial economic injury and, you know, are in one of the types of businesses located in a declared disaster area, then those would be the folks who would be eligible for an SBA EIDL. You've got to be a small business or a small agricultural cooperative or most nonprofit organizations as well. The real issue, I think, is if the business owner has a real plan for repaying the loan. It's not for expansion. And then I would also ask, will the owner be realistically able to recapture market share on the other side of the disaster, or could we be putting good money after bad? So ultimately, that's the decision of the business owner to determine, kind of in the wake of this disaster, you know, is this these funds going to get him or her on the other side of this and return to normal business functions? And if so, that's the purpose for these loans. And I think they can play a great play, a great role in that. As to businesses borrowing, I would say if it's done wisely, that would again be what I would consider a productive use of debt. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so just can I ask a kind of a follow-up to that?
Sure.
So that's kind of where my struggle is, because, you know, knowing that that's my background in financing and advising business owners, essentially, you know, as a Christian, I know I'm responsible for how I advise people. So I'm always kind of torn, like, I don't obviously know if their business is going to perform after the loan.
Right.
At the same time, you know, I mean, God does give us a brain, and we can kind of work through the numbers and look at balance sheets, P&Ls and all that stuff, tax returns in the prior years to look to see how they're performing, and hopefully they will be able to repay that. But ultimately, I mean, it is going to be up to the business owner. So I guess I just want to make sure that I don't want to put somebody in bondage, you know?
Yeah.
That's where I'm torn.
No, I hear that, and I appreciate your heart behind that. And I think, you know, there would be some clear areas where you'd be kind of, you know, operating in a way that can actually be productive and helpful to a business. And then there would be areas where you're not. So, you know, as a believer, I wouldn't be able to, in good conscience and in conviction, be able to operate a payday loan outfit. I just, you know, wouldn't be able to do that. I think that's taking advantage of people who are in a desperate situation. I mean, you look at these interest rates, and, you know, we don't have usury anymore. That was replaced by truth in lending. So basically, you can charge whatever you want as long as you disclose it. But I think that's, you know, taking advantage of folks. That's not what we're talking about here. And you're right. Ultimately, the business owner has to determine whether or not it makes sense to them. I think you bringing your expertise and using the right ratios and the right formulas to not, you know, get somebody to extend beyond their ability to repay, and doing that in a way that's educational and helpful, you know, is going to be very productive for the business owner. And if you bring that kind of approach, then I think an SBA loan like you're describing can be a very effective tool. At the end of the day, they're the steward and ultimately responsible for that. But I don't have any problem with you offering this service as long as you're doing it in the way that's educational and helpful to the business owner at the end of the day.
Well, God bless you, Rob. That really sets my mind at ease, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Steve. We appreciate you calling today. God bless you, my friend. Folks, we've already covered a lot of ground today. Still a lot more to come, though, on MoneyWise here at American Family Radio. We've got a few folks holding. If you all will continue to hold, we'll get to you just on the other side of this break. Also, some additional rules for borrowing. Here's one. Never presume upon the future. Therefore, you need a guaranteed way to repay what is borrowed. Sounds obvious, but make sure that's one of the prerequisites. Also, God gave you a spouse to complete you. Therefore, spouses must be in complete agreement before borrowing. And this one, never deny God an opportunity to provide. Therefore, make sure there's no other alternatives before you borrow. I hope that's helpful. This is MoneyWise. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
If you are engaging in sexual sin, today is the day to repent. As it was corrupt in Judah, let's be honest, the same things are happening today. The pornography addiction amongst the body of Christ is through the roof. And by and large, many in the church are not discussing these things too often because many of the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to do so, they're bound themselves.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture.
Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Hey, coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, Jerry Boyer joins us. Jerry will check in with us on Fridays. He's our resident economist. He'll weigh in on a few of the topics that came up during the week here on the broadcast, plus give us his end-of-the-week perspective on the markets and the economy. Jerry Boyer, economist, author, teacher, coming up in the next segment of the broadcast. In the meantime, a couple of lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Back to the phones, West Virginia. Jim, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Rob, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have a question about change.
Okay.
I've been a saver my whole life, and for the past 20-some-odd years, every time I go to the store and get a pocketful of change, I would save it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have, I would estimate at least $1,000 in change. We're talking about 50 cents down to a penny.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know what to do with it now. I don't know whether I don't want to take it to the coin dealers. They're way far ahead of this game than I am. And I don't want to take it to the bank and put it through their little machines and get dollar bills out of it, you know. So I thought I listen to you occasionally when I'm in the car. And so I thought, well, I'm going to try to call you and talk to you and see what your advice might be on this.
Sure, Jim. Well, I appreciate you checking in with us. You know, if you want to spend a little bit of time, what might be an interesting exercise is to look through all those coins and find any coins older than 1970, because those older ones contain silver, and those would be the ones, if you're interested, to take to a coin dealer to see if they happen to be worth more than their face value. But apart from that, you know, you could also use a third-party service like a coin grading service or, you know, the Numismatic Guarantee Corporation, NGC, if you want to go down that road. But I think, you know, unless you have a different thought, Jim, apart from that, what about just taking all of that coinage and depositing it into the bank and then either, you know, keeping it for a part of your emergency fund or putting it to work for you?
Okay, that sounds like a decent idea. Could put it into the bank and just store it right there. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not talking about making a deposit or anything. Maybe just put it into a savings box or something in the bank, you know.
That's right. Yeah. And then if you wanted to get a return on it, you know, you probably, if you listen to the program, have heard me talking about these I-bonds that right now, the inflation bonds are paying 9.62% with complete safety because they're backed by the U.S. government. You know, that rate will change every 6 months. But imagine if you, you know, took this roughly $1,000 and started earning, you know, nearly 10% on it. That wouldn't be a bad idea either. You'd have to buy the electronic bonds through the Treasury's website at treasurydirect.gov. But what about something like that, Jim, so you could earn a little bit more than you might get in a savings account?
That sounds a little better. Can I ask you one other question?
Of course.
I'll make it brief. I've got a senior savings account. My wife and I, we don't have any bills or anything. House is paid for, car paid for. So I do have a senior savings account, and I'm making so much interest on it, it's going to put me into a higher tax bracket. The first part of this year, I've made $1.54 on $24,000.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking about is taking that out of there, and I don't know, maybe I want access to our money. You know, if I want to take money out and go buy a car or something, I want it to be available to me. I don't want to tie it up for any length of time. Yeah. And I thought maybe a credit union might be something that would work for us. What do you think about that?
You know, you're typically with, you're not earning a whole lot, are you? You're typically going to get a little better rate with the average credit union. Tell me this, though, Jim, are you comfortable transacting business online?
We don't have a computer, sir.
You don't? Okay. The only reason I ask is, you know, these online banks that are still backed by the, you know, have FDIC insurance and are just as safe as the brick and mortar banks, you know, you could get 1.7% right now with no fees or anything, but it would require you to have an online account. So apart from that, yeah, I think a local credit union would be a better option that would likely offer you a better rate. And, you know, the only other option would be if you have a family member or somebody that could help you get online, you could do something that way. And, you know, the challenges with these I-bonds, although you'd have to lock it up for at least a year, they're only available right now through the electronic bonds, so you'd have to go through the internet. But apart from that, yeah, I think, Jim, looking at a credit union would probably be your best option, certainly better than what you're getting in that senior savings account. Hey, thanks for your kind words today, sir, and for listening and calling. God bless you. To Arkansas, Ann, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, I have some friends that were talking about buying silver. They said that by the first of the year that Biden was interested in doing away with, you know, money and stuff, and so we were going to go to a cashless society. And I knew that before Dan Silly said that we shouldn't buy gold or silver because how hard will it be to exchange it, but I was just wondering what your input was.
Yeah. On the gold and silver, I like an allocation to gold and silver at no more than 5% as a part of a properly diversified portfolio. I'm in agreement with Dan. I think taking physical possession is challenging. We've got the dealer markups on the buy and the sell. You have to secure that in a safe. And then, you know, how do you transact business with silver or gold coins or bars? And so I think for that reason, you know, doing the allocation through, let's say, an exchange traded fund that's a tracking fund that tracks the price of the precious metal and moves in concert with the price is a way to get exposure to it and have, a diversified portfolio. In terms of the cashless society, you know, folks have been talking about the U.S. going cashless since the 80s, really. Some vendors have stopped taking cash. Others will actually give you a discount for using it, like convenience stores selling gas. What the Biden administration has done is they've urged the Federal Reserve to explore the possibility of establishing a digital currency. But the Fed is really independent and has expressed little interest in it. There is a study going on right now about that, just to explore the potential for a central bank issued digital currency. But that's all it is. There's no decisions that have been made. It's just in a research phase right now, along with just a better understanding of these cryptocurrencies at the same time, which, you know, the central banks of the world are having to determine what kind of regulations they want to put in place, how much they want to be involved. Obviously, the whole idea behind the cryptos is that they are unregulated and not issued by a central bank, but rather a network of computers. And that's one of the main selling points. But one of the reasons they've come under pressure so much as of late is because of the conversations going on surrounding the regulations that could perhaps be put in place. But there's been no decisions made, Anne, about a digital currency going cashless, apart from just this move to a more digital economy with instantaneous loans and credit, as well as electronic payments, whether that's through your smartphone or, you know, through the computer. So you certainly can continue to maintain your financial affairs in a cash basis. And there's nothing on the horizon, I don't think, in the immediate future to be concerned about. We appreciate your call today. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What's the root of all evil? The love of money. At least it's the root of all kinds of evil, as 2 Timothy tells us. It's like rotten fruit. It grows on a rotten tree, which has rotten roots. The root of that rotten fruit is rotten roots. This is why Hebrews 13:5 says we should keep our lives free from the love of money. Instead, be content with what we have. It's not just about being content with whatever amount of money you currently have. It's about being content having so much more. The Lord Himself. He's promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's far greater than money. So we can be content in Christ. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit KenAnchor.com.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. It's Friday. Hey, before we go back to the phones, let's welcome a good friend. Jerry Boyer is going to be joining us for a new segment on Fridays as we reflect on a week in review in the markets and the economy. And Jerry doesn't know this, but I'm going to capture the hard issues, the questions that come up during the week that I want to throw at him for him to respond to as we round out the week. Jerry, great to have you with us, my friend.
Wait, I didn't know about the hard questions part. I want to renegotiate.
Jerry's the editor of the Business Channel at the Christian Post. He's the president of Boyer Research, and he is a great, great friend. And Jerry, let's start with the markets and the economy. Federal Reserve Chairman there in Jackson Hole had a lot of folks concerned when he said, listen, the gloves are off. We're going to fight inflation with whatever we need. And then obviously today we're seeing that payrolls are still rising. So we've got these kind of tug of war going on in the economy as to where we're headed. Is a recession inevitable or what's ahead of us? What are you watching right now that would give us some clues as to that?
Yeah, it is a tug of war, and I keep thinking about James. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and the Fed has a dual mandate, and those mandates conflict with one another. One mandate is keep unemployment low. The other mandate is keep inflation low. And because of the way they look at the world, it's not the way the world really works, but because of their worldview, they think you use inflation to get the economy going again. But if the economy goes too fast, then you have to, you know, you have to cut back on the money supply. So they micromanage the economy. So that's why the markets act so weirdly in response to news, because often good news makes markets go down and bad news makes markets go up. And you say, well, wait a minute, wouldn't good news be good news for markets? And the answer is, because the Fed has so much power now, so much more power than it's ever had historically, markets are no longer saying, is this good for the economy? The first question they're asking is, how will the Fed interpret this? And how will they react? And will they pump money into the system, driving stock markets up? Or will they suck money out of the system, driving stock markets down? So last week, a week ago today at Jackson Hole, the Fed said, we're tough, tough love. You know, it's going to be painful, but we're going to keep sucking money out of the system, even if, to fight inflation, because it means pain. 1 week later, a job and unemployment rate going up, that's what just happened a couple of hours ago, indicate that people think, oh, well, maybe the Fed isn't going to be so tough. So markets rise, gold rises as an inflation hedge, and the dollar falls. And that's what's happened in the last couple of hours.
Yeah. And the backdrop to all this, Jerry, longer term is what you and I have talked about before, and that is the rising debt we have in this country. I was reviewing the great article you wrote a couple of months ago for the Christian Post talking about this debt challenge we have. And you said, you know, even if it were possible to keep interest rates below normal for another 10 years, the only way to do it would be to continue to use the central bank to create new money supply and use it to artificially push down these interest rates. Well, that's inflationary. So it seems like we're going to have to choose between potentially longer term, the prospect of a debt crisis, or debasement triggering a currency crisis. It doesn't sound like either of those are very attractive.
No, they don't. And that's not really a very good decision, a set of choices. Look, when you violate biblical principles in your life for a long time, you eventually reach a situation where you don't really have any good options. I mean, you repent, right? But it's still a painful way back to normalcy. Well, the same is true for a nation. So we have been kicking the can down the road, just spending like crazy, and then the Fed just creates the money to finance that spending, creating housing bubbles, creating college bubbles, creating healthcare bubbles, creating bubbles all over the place. And you get to the point where there really aren't any non-painful decisions. So that's where we are. And at that point, what the Fed really needs to do is get back to a very ancient principle, back to the Torah, which is just weights and measures. Stop manipulating the value of the currency. Let the markets work this out. Do not micromanage the economy. Leave the decisions in the hands of consumers and producers and entrepreneurs. And then we can heal if we're allowed to be free and let markets work properly. But if the government keeps coming in and bailing us out every time things get rough and they don't want us to feel any pain, well, then we're just going to make bubbles that are bigger and bigger.
Yeah. So, Jerry, as believers, how do we move forward? Because as we've said before, you know, a lot of times Christians were early in calling for, you know, a looming crisis. You're saying now the prospect of a debt crisis down the road is plausible, whereas it really wasn't a base case for you in the past. And yet we shouldn't take a bunker mentality and exit the banking system and the stock market in your view, especially in light of inflation. We're losing purchasing power every day. So how do we synthesize all of that?
Yeah, money in the mattress is a guaranteed loss when you have inflation. I mean, that's the very definition of inflation, is the lost value of cash. Well, number one, understand that this is not surprising. You know, I just mentioned double-minded men talking about leaders. They're driven by the wind and tossed. We're not driven by the wind and tossed. When the Fed is like, oh, got to be tough. Oh, no, we got to create money. Oh, no, back and forth, driven by the wind and tossed. We stay grounded. We stand on ground while that's a kind of an ocean. We don't have to be driven around. The other thing is be frugal, be prudent, you know, have savings, invest wisely for the long run, be diversified. All the basic biblical principles still apply. In fact, they apply more. The crazier things are out there, the more we need biblical principles in here.
Yes. Very good. Jerry, those two quick questions that came up this week, rapid fire for you. One, we're going to do away with physical currency. It's all going to be digital. Biden's driving that, and that's really just around the corner. What say you?
Well, I think there is a Congress and there are courts and, you know, whatever President Biden wants to do. The thing is, we look at the plans of people in authority and we say their plans will come true and then run these worst case scenarios. I don't think it's likely we'll lose physical currency because a lot of people use it. But I do think, you know, the people in power want more power. We have to be careful about that. But we also have to avoid a constant focus on secret conspiracies that are just about to come true that are going to blow it all up and destroy everything. I mean, how many of those theories do we need to have come across our desk and have them not come true before we develop a little bit of skepticism about these scenarios? I don't know.
Very good. What about the prospect of the U.S. losing its status as the world's reserve currency?
Well, that seems plausible to me, but it could be a slow motion loss instead of like a sudden thing like what happened with Britain and the pound. Why? Because for all our problems, a lot of the rest of the world is worse off. China right now is worse off than we are. They're big, but they're having terrible COVID problems and they had a huge housing bubble that they're trying to burst. Europe, they have an energy crisis much worse than ours. So, you know, the dollar is the reserve currency, not because we're perfect, but because we're better comparatively than the other alternatives, yen, euro, yuan. We're still probably a little better. So when we violate biblical principles, I say, oh, no, that's bad. But you also look around and say, yeah, but is the world worse? And if the world is worse, then people still kind of come to the dollar. There's still enough Christian heritage in our institutions and in our cultural memory that the United States is still an important and powerful economic player. And for that reason, the dollar has a certain resiliency, which surprises us even when we get into high levels of debt.
Yeah, very good. Jerry, I'll give you the last word. Where do you want to finish today?
What I want to finish is go back. Don't be double-minded. Be single-minded. You serve the Lord. You serve Him only. Your financial decisions are all about that. You hold that up against that grid. And when the Powells of the world, you know, the Fed chairman and the Bidens of the world are back and forth driven by the wind and tossed, that is all the more reason for you to be single-minded as they're double-minded.
I love it. That might have just been the best 8 minutes in Christian radio today, Jerry. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, it's good questions.
Appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Jerry Boyer with us today, our good friend and resident economist. All right, as we round out the broadcast today, back to the phones. Kansas, Randall, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My mom has some CDs, and I need to know how much the FDIC will insure up to, because she has them in a couple different banks, and I want to make sure I don't lose money if something happens for her.
Yes. Yeah. So you have up to $250,000 in coverage per financial institution per titled account. So if you have, you know, more than $250,000 to invest, she could buy a CD at another bank, which would, with the same title account, be insured up to another $250,000. And so she could split that money into, you know, a couple of different banks to get up above that cap.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know to make sure. And one more question real quick.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
How much time after a person's death do you have to disperse CDs and everything? Say December 25th, my mother passed away.
Okay.
How much time do you have to disperse everything?
Yes. Well, has she gone through the probate process yet?
No.
Okay, so that would be the next step. I mean, every estate is different, so the timelines can vary. Typically, it would be wrapped up in 6 to 8 months. But if it's really complicated, it could take years. So the executor is the one who's going to distribute the assets according to the will. And that generally happens for most folks in a relatively short period of time.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
All right, Randall. We appreciate it. God bless you. Dan in Texas, apologize for not getting to you today, sir. We'd love to get you back on the program tomorrow. Perhaps you could be first in line. So Stay on the line. Pat will get your information, and we'll reach out to you on Monday and see if we can get you back on the broadcast. Thanks for calling in today. Folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Such a privilege to be along with you here on the program, to serve you, to mine the scriptures, to highlight God's truths and bring them to bear in your financial decisions and choices. I want to say thank you to my team today. Jim Henry providing great research. Devin Patrick was our engineer and producer. Pat Montague managing our phones today. Thankful that you were along with us as well. I hope you have a great Labor Day weekend, and I'll be back on Tuesday, Lord willing. We'll look for you then. In the meantime, may God bless you and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.